Blog Talk.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Hello, everybody. Hey, who's the... We got a caller on Skype. Hello, we got a caller on Skype?
Not me.
Okay, you probably just want to listen.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'll come back in a minute. But, yeah, we got... I was going to play this for Art since he thought it was Naked Tuesday. Let me get this out of the way, and then we'll talk about it.
42. Now, I know a woman. She's really stacked. She's got some eye candy, and that's a fact. She got plenty of what the other girls lack. Y'all know that's undeniable. She likes drinking tequila, little beer. Fellas all stare when she comes near. She's proud of those puppies. Let me be perfectly clear. That body is so desirable.
Don't fret, boy.
Double D cups. That girl, she sure fills them up. Of a handful. I know a couple of girls with C-cups, and they're delectable. But what Mama's got is unbelievable. Mama got double, double D-cups when they're not made of plastic. Make a woman so sexy, so fantastic. Built to ride hard, built to last. When I look at you, baby, I say, oh my goodness, double D-cups. Oh, won't you live?
Even harder.
That was for our, in case you thought it was Naked Tuesday.
Well, y'all have to play it for him again on Thursday. Thursday is the Commando Day.
Mm-hmm.
He picked that.
So, yeah, and then there's, I sent you an email, but this is
I
a thing for...
I didn't see it, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I haven't
this
been
one,
there.
This one's prison for recording a cop. Art sent this to me today. Actually, yesterday. Illinois law under fire. It seems that Chris Drew was looking for trouble on December 2nd, 2009, when he set out on Chicago State Street to sell art without a permit. He was not looking for the amount of trouble he found. Drew was carrying an Olympus Digital voice recorder. Police had no idea he was recording the arrest. When you record a police prosecutor or judges in Illinois without their consent, it's a Class 1 felony, punishable by 15 years in prison. We weren't listening in on anything private. We're all in public. Drew said, so by the very definition of eavesdropping, I could not imagine there was an eavesdropping law that made it illegal to listen on a public conversation. True. He got a break, at least for a moment. The Cook County Circuit Judge Stanley Sachs, ruled that the eavesdropping law is unconstitutional because it is overly broad. The Illinois eavesdropping law statute potentially punishes or punishes as a felony a wide array of innocent conduct. For example, a jury using an audio recorder to record directions to the courthouse for jury duty given by a police officer would not be in violation of the statute, Sachs wrote in his decision. However, one circuit court judge cannot rule the law off the books. It's now heads for the Illinois State Supreme Court. Months could go by before justices produce a ruling. So at least in Cook County, the state's attorney will continue to prosecute the eavesdropping law. As the state's attorney, I'm going to enforce the laws that are on the books. This is what the law is on the books, Anita Alvarez said. Bearing down on Chicago in late May is the upcoming NATO summit. It's expected to bring in with the throngs of protesters who take video recordings almost as often as they chant slogans. Police can be overwhelmed and transport vehicles can be overstuffed with iPhone-wielding felons, future felons. If they're concerned with everybody pulling out their phones and recording, doesn't that take away from the real purpose of the officers being there, which is to maintain the security of the public protesters and the people being protested? Attorney Joshua Kutnick said. Democratic State Representative Aline Nikaris is pushing a bill to repeal the Illinois eavesdropping statute headed to the NATO summit. Her repeal passed committee, but not unanimously. The vote was 9-2. And even if some of the lawmakers who supported the repeal voiced concern, I don't think this will sail through, she said. It will face some pretty significant hurdles. The hurdles will come from the prosecutors and police. The Illinois Fraternal Order of Police has issued a statement saying, by allowing the audio-video recording of witnesses and victims without their knowledge or consent, there will be a chilling effect on witnesses coming forward. There will be victims who are re-victimized, and there will be tragic split seconds where a pointed cell phone could be mistaken for a pointed gun. So I'm going to put the link up here in the chat.
Right. No, I know that that's been taking place here because it's been in the paper, it's been in the news. I have seen it. In fact, there was, I'm going to say maybe around the 2008, if not maybe a little bit longer or something, there was a homeless man that was selling some stuff, like newspapers or something, you know, they have them in the city. They get a chance to make a little bit of change, you know, in their pocket.
Right.
Now, he had one. He was arrested. The case is still pending in regards to what he is going, maybe it's not pending anymore, where he was issued money for wrongful arrest.
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy. But see, you and I, we talked about that. How long ago? Once this meeting comes into play here in May, it's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody tries to do anything, you're it's not so much anymore like that, the one bill. I want to say it's the H.R. 347.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, you have that on top of this, so you're stuck. You're stuck.
Right. Right.
You know, so you basically just better, you know, be there. Don't demonstrate. You can stand there and hope that you're not by a dignitary.
Right.
Or that you have, you know, a recording device on your person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. But there's going to be no way to control it, really.
No. No, I mean, it's just going to be way out of control. So what takes place here, you know, everybody everywhere will be able to see it. Just like when they had the protesters, you know, in the park there, for the love of God, I can't think of it, in New York, you know, and look at how it got tore up and everything else, you know. And come on, you know, we know it's going to happen. But they're trying to put such a tight noose hold on the city.
Right.
Come on, you got to be more realistic. It's not that it can't be done. It can. But at what cost? It's the taxpayers' cost.
Mm-hmm.
So our taxes go up to pay for everybody to make sure that they're protected for the summit meeting, the G8 summit meeting.
Right.
Mm-mm.
You're right. But
and I can't believe how well I'm doing with as tired as I am. Sorry, Stan. But yeah, like I said, you know, they're choking on us enough. So how much before it's everywhere else? It's here. It's now. It's not 30 years ago. 30 years ago is not what it was today.
No. No. And I'm still waiting. We got a special guest calling in. I'm going to give it a few minutes and see if he calls in. If not, we'll ring him up. But he might be indisposed for a few minutes.
Which is understandable, you know. Not everybody can, you know, come at the same time. But yeah, like I said, in regards to that, you know, it is what it is. And Obama overrode, you know, what could have been voted out, I'm sure. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, I think it was, with the H.R. 347, Obama had to sign that. But the vote tally, I think, was the 400-600 range versus the ones that were against it was very small and minute compared to the ones that wanted it. So obviously they have a plan. They've had a plan. They know what they're going to do. And that's just the bottom line.
Right. Let's see what this. Hold on a second. 619. Is that your friend?
Yes, me.
How you doing?
Well, I tried to use Skype, and then it says the first 6 minutes is free, and then I was like, well, how much is it going to cost after that?
Yeah.
So that's when I switched over to the telephone.
Oh, okay.
Also, with what you're talking about, one of the things that you also have to always remember is when it comes to law enforcement, it's very selective. And also with the judges, it's also very subjective and selective. When they go to the Supreme Court, they're given a list of cases, and out of that list, they decide which ones they will hear. Not by volume, not by whatever. They decide what they're going to hear and then judge on.
Right.
And that's our full process. We may not like it, and yes, we should change it, because a standardized law should go across the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because this week, I'm sure you probably got it as well, where a biker was killed, hit and run.
Right.
And the judge let the guy go.
Yeah, I saw that. I posted that.
Okay, and I of course I spread that around as well, but what angers me is that judge just let out back on the road a killer.
Mhm.
And yet there was a woman, I think it was up by your area, a woman that hit a bicyclist and got 6 or 8 years in prison for it.
Right.
So my question in this selective judging is.
Who got the payoff?
Do you need to cut?
Who got the payoff?
Well, I have no idea. But
yeah.
Here you the woman that gets 6 to 8 years, and you get this long way one and gets nothing.
Well, in China, what their solution for street racing is?
What's that?
Death penalty.
Well, you know what? I think. You know, it's amazing. Getting older, my tolerance is getting less.
Yeah, because these two guys identified only as Jin and Zhang. They were racing through the streets of Shanghai aboard Honda and Yamaha bikes, motorcycles, when they evaded patrolling police officers. Surveillance footage led to their detention and the confiscation of the motorcycles, and the two later confessed to the crime. Unfortunately for the offenders, street racing in China once led to a maximum of 15 days of imprisonment, but is now subject to the death penalty. That's what we need here. You hit a biker, you get the death penalty.
Well, I mean, there are circumstances, but at the same time, when I'm looking at someone killing a biker and someone killing a bike police, one gets jail time and the other doesn't. And
right.
if we... up, if we back up, I guess I would say almost 10 years ago, what state was it in? It was a politician, senator. He'd been tagged several times for speeding, and this time he was speeding to where, his home or whatever, kills a biker, and he figures he was going to walk because he always walked on everything else. And only through the pressure and billboards put up by AMA did he actually step down from his position. And they didn't actually put him in jail. Again, that's, you know, that status and whose palm got greased, whatever. But at the same time, where was the remorse? There wasn't any.
Right.
Now, what's going to prove interesting is the young lady that rear-ended the motorcyclist. I don't know how he survived, because the helmet damage to his neck should have killed him.
Right.
If you had seen those x-rays. But technically, the man should not have survived. And, I mean, here was a woman, okay, granted, she was drunk, rear-ends a guy, gets out of the car, makes a statement, I think she said, I killed him or whatever, picks up her bumper, throws it in the car, and then drives home.
Right.
So it's like, are we really that low? You know, we don't even rate.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, it's like Shirley chimed in with in the chat room that she drives a car and she's had bikers cut her off and passed her on the wrong side.
But well, that happens in every state.
Exactly.
Yeah. But if a biker does that, then he is running the risk that, you know what? He's going to get clipped, and he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, there's
right.
There's not too much other than that at that point.
Yeah. Let me see who this other caller is. Hold on.
Okay.
604.
That's me. It's Marlene. How you doing, Phil?
Good. How you doing, Marlene?
Pretty good.
Yeah, we're waiting for our special guest to call in. If I'm going to give him a few more minutes. If not, I'm going to ring him up.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So what do you think about all this?
Oh, I don't know. It's pretty crazy, I think. I've seen so much, you know, accidents in my lifetime, and you see it in the Lower Mainland here all the time, street racing or drinking and driving and people getting killed. And the people that actually kill these people, they get away with it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what the hell is going on with, well, this is Canada. I don't know where you guys are from, but I'm like, what the hell is going on with this country? Like, they're like basically a slap on the wrist.
Yeah. Well, Nora's on the line. She's from south side of Chicago.
Okay.
Fran is from San Diego.
Yeah.
And I'm up 38 miles north of Fran in Oceanside.
Right on. Yeah. Well, I just find that's less. How do you say, like, what that one was saying? She was saying that basically the court system, I find that they're overbooked and they're basically letting a lot of people go when they should be actually doing jail time, you know, doing court cases and then going to jail for what they've done wrong. They're so overpacked here that they're actually letting them go. They're dropping the cases.
Wow.
Well, they were doing that here, but the governor changed it as of December of 11. He signed it, so now...
Well, you know, our judicial system, I don't understand how we could say it's fair when the rules are to find 12 people who can't relate to the accused.
Well, my question is, those really, really neat ankle bracelets, and it's called house arrest, why are we putting them in jail when we can put them under house arrest? And if they leave their house, they start getting little electrical shocks at their ankles. I mean, my personal feeling when they say putting somebody protection from you, I go and I get an order of protection. That ain't protection.
Right.
Because that son of a bitch can get a rifle and shoot me. However, my idea of punishment is really sweet. You get a dog collar that they can't undo.
Okay.
And the closer you get to you, the more intense the shot gets around your throat. So if you're not supposed to be within 1,000 feet of me, you're going to have some really interesting tinges.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is what it should be. Not a piece of paper saying to you, don't come within 1,000 feet of me.
Okay.
And not only that, just think how simple it is. Because you can't get the collar off until you show up in court. Most times, when someone like that has been served, they purposely don't show up in court because then they can say, I didn't know what the conditions were or
mm-hmm.
are. Because he never showed up in court. He or she, both it, on both sides. But if there's an order of protection and a dog collar that gives electrical shock when you get close to somebody, they're going to know it. The only time I feel sorry for that person would be if they're stuck in freeway traffic and one does happen to get close to the other by chance.
Yeah.
That might be a good time to move to another town.
Mm-hmm.
But house arrest is cheaper. And once that bracelet's put on that ankle, and if you don't call within a certain amount of time, they come looking for you.
Uh-huh.
So why are we spending so much money on jails?
Well, that's like they're going to open the floodgates here and let all the
nonviolent.
Yeah, the nonviolent and the petty pot arrests.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let them loose and then put them under house arrest.
Yeah.
Well,
but
you know.
Tag a bracelets on.
Well, it's like Shirley wrote a good comment in here. Which is worse, being threatened or someone saying you are threatening them?
You have to be caught at it.
You know?
I'll have to be right back to you.
I'm sorry?
Chase, I would say we got right back to us.
Oh, okay. So Marlene, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I've seen that before. I actually heard about it from somebody I knew. And, yeah, the house arresting actually does work.
Mm-hmm.
What she's saying, it is true. They do have that here. And I found it did work. The person wasn't allowed to leave his area, the house, and if he did, yeah, the cops would be at the door within seconds. So, yeah, you can't hide, you can't run because that thing beeps and they know where you are kind of thing.
Right.
So I don't know if they would bring it back, you know, to make it more of it. I don't know what it's doing now, but I have heard about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, like Shirley says, you say help people in prison and then don't let them out. You know. It depends. It's a gray area. Everybody has their doubts about it.
Yeah.
Know?
Exactly.
I mean, I know someone right now that is waiting for the district attorney is talking to the lawyer, but this kid has a prior for shoplifting. He stole a candy bar, and then he got picked up again, and. He qualifies for that program in California, which is PC-1000, which is they give you a second chance.
Okay.
But they don't want to give him the second chance because he has that petty theft charge.
Right.
So they're playing games. They're playing games. Which one, you know, basically it's coming down to see who's got the bigger, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So... sometimes it's like, where do we go from here, you know?
Yeah.
Or which way is up?
Exactly, yeah. I don't understand the way that they do the system.
No. What do you think about that, Nora?
Well, you know,
unfortunately, it's a bad situation because, you know, the jails are overcrowded, you know, so you can't cram any more in. So you let the non-violent offenders out. So they're you know what they're going to go back to. And so what purpose is it setting here?
Yeah. It's a no-win situation then, right?
No. And if they build more prisons, well, we have prisons here in the state of Illinois that they might use, like if it was Guantanamo Bay. You know, you put out terrorists in them. In the facilities that have been built, brand new, never used. But yet they won't use them to kind of weed out through the prison systems here. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
No. No, and we're supposed to be broke, but they got money to build them. But then they say, well, it was budgeted for that a few years ago. You know, it's like Shirley says, let out the ones who've already served many years. I agree with that one.
Yeah,
you know,
get the 20-year sentence to people out, get their own ones in, you know, shift it.
Yeah.
Who wants to live in their bathroom for 20 years and then try and, excuse me, come out in the, you know, back into the real world and adapt outside of it? You know, and that's what anybody that has been locked up would say. If you want to know what jail's like, go in your bathroom, close your door, and stay there. Well, it's pretty much about the size, not a little bit bigger.
Right.
And imagine
what I'm
that,
gonna do is,
you know, because there's a prison here, what, you're locked down 24.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like Shirley says, the new ones are more dangerous, so it depends, you know. The older ones don't want to go back, which is true.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I said, pull out ones 15, 20 years, what have you, you know, and then toss in the other ones. Shift it. Because, you know, a lot of them, they want to come out and they want to get a wife, you know, other than being inside the size of the bathroom. Others, they'll come out and they'll repeat.
Right. Let me, I got this thing here that, it's a pretty good, let's see, let me find it here real quick. Just to switch gears, because I'm getting kind of upset about all this. Because no matter what we say, no matter what we do here, some things are going to change and some aren't. But basically what we're trying to make everybody into the circle to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me get to this real quick. This is a guy who did an impersonation of Obama. He imitated George Bush, but he started doing Obama and really does it well. So the administration tried to stop his act. So let's see how this guy sounds.
Our stage. Steve Bridges as President Barack Obama. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Take a seat. Thank everybody for coming out tonight to my $1,000 plate fundraiser. I wanted to send Joe Biden, but I was afraid he would talk. Let me begin tonight by saying that since taking office, I have faced two wars.
Somehow I lost you.
Okay.
A global economic meltdown and living with my mother-in-law. While all this is going on, every day I receive the same phone call from Sarah Palin. It leaves the same message. Obama. Tonight, I'm here to reaffirm I am running for re-election, and with good reason. It would be crazy to give up a job in this economy. Now, let me say, let me say this about the economy. I am not blaming George Bush. I'm just saying it's his fault. I inherited a crisis forcing me to spend trillions on the bailout. You see, the word trillion scares people. But it's simply a Latin word that means Tyrannosaurus rexillium. So don't worry about the economy. That's my job. And I'm not worried about it. I know that the American people are hurting. Unemployment figures continue to hover around 10%. That figure does not include people who have given up searching for work. We can really bring those numbers down if more people would just quit looking. One thing is certain. We must stop borrowing money from China. The problem with borrowing money from China is an hour later, you feel broke again. Now, recently, China announced that they have built the world's fastest computer. Big deal. Let's see if they can build the ShamWow. The George Foreman grill. Or those steps that help your fat dog get up on your bed at night. Could anybody in China have ever invented the Snuggie? No. They don't sit on their butt in front of the television long enough to think about that. We can beat these people. I know that we can catch up with China if we just keep adopting their children. Let me say that as your president, I am adamant about immigration reform. I recently spoke with Mexico's new president and drug lord, El Grande Diablo. Americans from going over there and buying cheap Viagra. It is time for all America to take part in their own health care. Folks, we beat the swine flu simply by washing our hands, covering our mouths when we cough, by stop licking doorknobs. It's practices like this sure that older Americans will live longer, paving the way for my new retirement age of 127 years old. It is time, as a nation, we start to address the serious issue of childhood obesity. Over one-third of Americans' children are obese. The other two-thirds are terrified of being trampled to death at recess. Healthcare does not have to be expensive. We can bring the cost down simply with some simple ideas. First, those TSA airport scans can double as x-rays for your doctor's analysis. A start doing simple procedures like prostate checks. They're already wearing those rubber gloves. God bless you all, and God bless America. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that with everybody. Well, I killed a little time here, but I'm having a little trouble with the number I have, so I asked Nora to do a double check for me and see. But what I was going to do was, wait, let me play this one song. And this is actually tonight's special guest was supposed to be Mike P, the big homie, and we're trying to connect. Let me play this song and see what's going on.
It's Mike P and Stone Capone. It's that real hood music, man. And this is our single. You know they say bump it hard, so
turn it up.
Yeah.
Hello. So, hope you guys enjoyed that. I put the link up in there, but in the chat room. But yeah, I'm still trying to get through. I don't know, maybe something happened or let me figure it out. Might be on a motor, might not, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So
I'm waiting.
Yeah. So how do you like that music, Marlene?
Pretty good. It's awesome.
Cool.
Love it, yeah.
All right, while I'm waiting, my phone's ringing. I'm going to play one more. This one's called, I'll put it up, the link up. This one's called 1%.
It's that Harley boy, Mike P. And they say I represent the 1% of the bad biker community. But I just represent free. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. I had a biker, homie. I'm a gangster on a bike. Even the cops don't like me because I do what I like. It's an American dream for us to live free. When the best think of me, they think of penitentiary. Don't play me, dick. You made me this way. I'ma sit in a cage filled up with rage. Take off that mask or kick your ass all day. Come and fuck you in the fucking DA. 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent that 1% but not to the hood. So if you see that one with the diamond crown, you better make room. I'll lay you down. I'm on the freeway riding with my middle finger up like fuck the world. I don't give a fuck. The bad community, but when I
well. Let's see. I left a message. As soon as he calls in, we'll bring him on. But, yeah, I mean, I had things planned and questions to ask, but, so, what do you think, Nora? You know, I got another one today, Diane Sawyer did a report on the U.S. bridge projects going to the Chinese and not Americans. But, let me see here, if I can get this. Yeah. I'll put the shortcut in the chat room. But, what happened was Diane Sawyer did a news article, and it seems that all the bridges here in the U.S. and has approved for the Chinese contractors to come in and do the work. What about the jobs for the Americans? So, this one should be tough for the supporters of the current regime to swallow, and it does come, and it comes from the ABC News. No snipes, no WikiLeaks on this one. It's U.S. bridges and roads being built by the Chinese firm, shocking to say the least. This is a video of jaw-dropper that will make you sick. It's also shocking that ABC was actually reporting the story. The lead-in with Obama promising jobs in the U.S. by improving our infrastructure is so typical of all his promises, our tax dollars at work for China. Pray all the unemployed see this and cast their votes accordingly in 2012. So, that's on the blog, but it's also... Let me see. Man, come on. Don't do this to me now. Okay. But, yeah, let me see if I can get this to play. Right here. Check out this video. This is Diane Sawyer.
40 years ago, he wasn't looking for financial advice. Back then, he had something more important to do. He wasn't focused on his future. But fortunately, somebody else was. At USAA, we provide retirement planning for our military, veterans, and their families. Now more than ever, it's important to get financial advice from people who share your military values. For our free USAA retirement guide, call 877-242-USAA.
Infrastructure projects are underway in America, rebuilding bridges and roads in American cities, but they've hired Chinese firms and Chinese workers. Why? 2020 anchor Chris Cuomo is the captain of our Bringing America Back team, and he decided to track down those people who made these decisions.
Rebuilding America's crumbling infrastructure is now a priority.
Help us rebuild this bridge! Help us rebuild America! Help us put construction workers back to work!
In New York, a $400 million renovation of the Alexander Hamilton Bridge. In California, a whopper, a $7.2 billion new bridge to connect San Francisco and Oakland. And in Alaska, a proposed $190 million bridge project. Sounds like a great opportunity for government spending to actually lead to real jobs. The problem? Much of the work is going to Chinese government-owned contracting firms. when we're subsidizing jobs in China, we're not creating any wealth in the United States.
In Alaska, outraged union workers took to the airwaves with an obvious point.
This is not the time to send more jobs to China. Our tax dollars will provide hundreds of jobs there, not at home.
U.S. law actually requires major infrastructure projects to buy America when the cost difference is reasonable. In California, U.S. firms say they would have met those guidelines, but state officials decided to turn down federal money for a major part of the bridge, allowing a Chinese company to get the job at a cost of almost 3,000 American jobs and a potential $1 billion boost to the struggling California economy.
It would have had a multiplier effect because it would have not only given thousands of Californians jobs, but also the subsequent spending would have been reinvested back in our economy.
Is this the best way to bring America back? We went to California officials who claimed the Chinese could do the work faster and cheaper. Why can't the Americans do it as quickly as the Chinese? What makes them so special?
One issue that you will consistently hear every time you go to a fabrication site in this country is that they struggle at this point in time to obtain welders. That is an issue in this country.
So can you say that you guys have done everything you can to keep jobs here in building this bridge?
Absolutely.
But would American companies have done it, Chris, for a little less money and tried to race it along?
The U.S. firms say absolutely. They say they could have done this job. And there's a bigger point here. It's not a level playing field. The Chinese firms are state-owned. They don't pay their workers as much. That's why the Buy America laws were passed. If states can get around them, Diane, we'll never bring America back. You have to enforce the rules to let American companies play.
That's true, because where I work, if you guys saw the stuff that we're putting on government ships right now.
How could switchgrass in Argentina?
Oh, man.
Change engineering in Dubai.
Okay. But yeah, if you guys saw most of the stuff, like we get stuff from China, we get stuff from Mexico, stuff from all over, and used on American ships. I don't know. It's like, where do we go from here? But let's see. All right, I'm going to play this song. I'll be right back.
The chopper, baby.
The chopper is dead.
Dead.
Who's dead?
Dead's dead, baby. Dead's dead.
Jump up on your Harley boy. Pop the clutch.
on your holly boy. Pop the clutch, hit the gas, let the engine run. I'm bad to the bone. Jump up on your holly boy. Jump up on your holly boy. Pop the clutch, hit the gas, let the engine run. I'm bad to the bone. Mike Peak, everybody get on them Harley Davidsons, homie. The baggers, the dressers, the diners, guys. Let's go.
Hello.
Yes.
So what did you get? Send it to me in a message. But yeah, I just wanted to this guy that shot the guy that shot the 16 people in Afghanistan. It seems that he had suffered a head injury in Iraq. So he's married, 38 years old, and he's a father of two. He hasn't been released yet. They say he may face capital charges and that the U.S. must resist pressure from Washington and Kabul to change the course because of the anti-American outrage over the shooting. But what I'd like to know is, who's the doctor that let this guy go back to full duty if he had a head injury? No? What do you think?
Who are you talking to?
You.
I'm sorry. Please repeat.
I was multitasking
because, you know,
no worries.
What I need to do.
But what I
do.
Said is,
okay.
Army staff sergeant, he's accused of killing 16 people. They said he had a head injury in Iraq. So I'd like to know who the doctor was that said he was okay for full duty if he had a brain injury.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
Because I know you have to go through a whole bunch of stuff to find out what's going on. And if you're okay, and they give you all kinds of tests. So if you pass the test, I can see that. But if they just let them go without checking them thoroughly, something's wrong.
Right. That it definitely is.
You know, they say this.
I agree.
They said this shoot, this, weakens support for the war. Well, as far as I know, there really hasn't been any support for the war.
No. Never has been, since day one. It goes back that far, you know.
Said he was sent up February 1st to this new place. How he watched, entered the house and moved through it methodically, checking each room. Then he heard gunshots. Somebody entered our house. He was in a NATO forces uniform. I didn't see his face because it was dark. After I saw that, I saw him move to different areas of the house. He was searching. He said he, and then he said, Yeah, they tried to cover the father's bullet wound with a clock, and then he shot both of them again. That's crazy.
That's just true.
Yep. But yeah, like I said, I'd like to know who the doctor was that let him go back to full duty. But, hey, did you guys hear about this in my neck of the woods? Chick gave birth to a 14-pound boy. Hear what I said? 14 pounds.
Yeah.
14-pound baby. Wow.
That is huge.
Yeah. All the comedians were saying, wow, how did he fit?
I don't even know. Can a normal female carry that big of a baby? Huh.
Well, obviously it happened.
Well, yeah, I get that. But what I mean is, I've never heard of somebody carrying a 15-pound baby. Or 14, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, 14 pounds. Wow. A lot of screaming. A lot of medication. I don't know. Just my theory on it. But, hey, Frank, go ahead and have that guy call in with you. Seems we got a casting call this week. I'm not sure. It's somewhere up north, and then I know there's going to be one at Bill's place. So, Fran, if you're still listening, have him call me. We'll bring him out while we're waiting. I know what we're going to do. Since we have... we have Stormy in the house. I'm going to play one of Stormy's songs. Let's see. What a little Barstool Logic.
Okay.
That was Story Montana, Barstool Logic. I happen to have in my hand, because I received a box from Stormy and her mother, some CDs. So my email address is up in the chat rooms. The first two people that send me an email in the next 10 minutes, I'll send you the CD. Hello, friend.
I want a CD. That's a really sweet song.
Hey, I said the first two people that send me an email off my address in the chat room, they'll get a CD. Now
well,
9 minutes.
I'm off the chat room now. I'm on the phone.
Okay, well, you know my email address is. Or did you forget?
Oh, no, I haven't forgotten. Besides that, I got to get that ad lawyer again, too.
Oh. So
I'll get that from you this weekend.
Okay.
So is the thing on at Bill's or not this weekend?
No, there's a run at Bill's on Saturday.
What's the run?
It leads out of Biggs Harley, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be the same.
But I didn't know they were having a casting call, too. I know Opal's having one up in L.A. this weekend, I think, and then the next one is at Bill's.
No, that was last weekend.
It was last weekend? Okay, well, she was... Yeah, well, she was supposed to send me the email, but she didn't.
Oh, bummer, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you've got a couple things. You've got Biggs having a St. Patty's one, and you've got Sweetwater having a St. Patty run. What else is going on? There's a couple things going on. There's a biker wedding.
Uh-huh.
There's so many different things going on, and I can't keep up with any of it.
Yeah. That's what we hear. So it's like I'm going north and Bill's going to be down south.
Well, I'm not sure which way I'm going to split. Kind of
okay, Art gets one of the CDs. He's the first one.
Oh, but wait, I can't type that fast. That's not fair.
Well, multitasking, I'm doing it.
No, doesn't work that way, Phil. I even tried typing in the stroker. That didn't work. Wait a minute, I got to do it with Phil. Now she can bring it up. You'd think that for all this time I would actually know what this email address is.
I know.
Oh, I know.
No, but they say memory is the second thing to go.
What's the first?
I don't remember.
See, well, then you don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know, the bad thing is that I get so many of these things in the mail, and I try and keep everybody abreast of what's going on and stuff, and I got St. Patrick's Day parties this weekend. I got two runs. You're talking about a biker wedding, the run from Bill's, and then casting call.
What's the run at Bill's?
It's coming from Biggs. He's one of the stops.
Oh, he's one of the stops. Okay.
St. Patty's Day thing, and then he's going to speak with the Pioneers after later in the day. He's going to be there when they do the food and stuff. But yeah, he's one of the stops.
Okay. I should actually be there at some place with my camera and taking photos of all these people coming in and out.
Yeah, and then I still got something working on down on Marine Corps Recruit Depot. The Wounded Warriors, they're going to be building a bike here, and I got some things planned with some people from Hollywood, and my friend Pete Alva is going to film it for his movie. But we're still working on getting. Yeah, we're still working on getting all that hooked up.
I have a woman that's supposed to be getting in touch with me to set up. The woman is doing a documentary on women bikers.
Uh-huh.
But I'm still waiting for her to get in touch with me so that so I can find out, well, what kind of women is she actually talking about? You know, is she talking of people like Mariana, or is she talking about people like me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's a, are you talking those that sit on the back, those who ride? You talking old-time riders? You talking new puppies, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I, it's like, to me, you know, like Art says, he thought all girls could type.
No. No. You got to be kidding. The piece of footage that I'd like to see would have been about 15 years ago. There was a crew, and her name was Charlie, that was spearheading it. And she videoed the Bate and other bikers, and she was doing a documentary from Lake Wolford.
Yeah.
Out of Local 11.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Local 11's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's kind of sad because we never got to see the footage.
Right.
Guess who had an American flag, though?
Huh.
You don't
well,
even guess.
You.
Of course. I was the only one that had an American flag. Yeah, it was me. I had my flag, and I flew it proudly. Thank you. But what I'm afraid of, and I'm not really sure how we should start doing about this, either. But it would really be nice for a lot of the old timers and the new ones to somehow send in to someplace, and I don't know who would take care of it, but stories of bike events, the code, and how the newer ones, the younger ones, are viewing, and if they're actually even realize that there is a biker code. But that would be, I would hate to see history disappear. I really would.
Yeah.
And some of it really is, I mean, I will stop, as you know, for any bikers on the side of the road. Okay.
Yeah, I stopped for one.
Yeah. I mean, but that's us.
He said he was just tired and pulled over on the side of the road. I said, well, that was the wrong place to sit. So you should have got off the next exit.
Might not have been able to.
No. He just said he was tired and he just pulled over. But he was sitting on the bike. He was sitting on the bike, you know, with his back to traffic. Usually, you know.
Might not. Trust me
when
I say.
Yeah, that's like a homie.
Trust me when I say he might not have been able to. I remember when John and I went to 29 Palms. The heat was so bad that heat exhaustion, John pulled over to the side of the road, and all he wanted to do was lay down and go to sleep. He did not have a clue as to how bad he actually was. Being the person that I was, I always carried Gatorade and other items on my bike, and I was able to rally him enough to get back on the bike so that we went into the information center at 29 Palms. He was able to go inside the building, sit down in the air conditioning. The woman that was in there tried to hustle him out, saying, you can't stay here. And John kept saying, you don't understand. I have to stay here. And then with a little bit of persuasion, the person finally realized that heat exhaustion was so bad that even sitting there.
Yeah.
In the air conditioning.
He wrote a good article, too.
Huh?
I have to look posted, but he wrote a good article about that.
Yeah. I mean, he was in bad shape.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't that bad because I had made my own vest with a camelback in the back.
Uh-huh.
And I had already, by that time, I got to 29 Palms,
because it was a 70-ounce bladder. I had already had 21 ounces of fluid by the time we had gotten to that spot. It sure does pay to carry your own water, though. The guy at Velma gas station in the middle of the desert there wanted $3 a bottle of water, and that was, what, 15 years ago? I didn't even think what he's charging now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got two liters the other day for $2.50 coming back from Yucaipa.
Yeah, but that's even what you're paying even locally here now. So I mean, that's not sharking. Sharking is when that 2 liters would have cost you 10.
No, sharking is when I go to get gas and $10 used to fill up my bike. Now it's 20. That's sharking.
I know. That's,
and then while you're getting gas, he's out there changing the sign, but you'll get it for the price that you pulled in at, but it's going up 10 cents as you're standing there.
Yep, been there.
Yeah.
Thank God I ride a bike, because if I had to drive that van, I wouldn't be able to feed it. I honestly would not be able to feed that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how some of these people are doing it, because I filled up that van. It cost me $75. It was like, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about sticker shock.
Yeah.
That hurt.
Yeah. Let me grab this caller. Hello, 508.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
It's Stacy. So what's happening?
Not much. Not much. We had a little technical difficulties with Mike P, but hopefully you can call in for the end of the show.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. What are you guys talking about? Because I'm listening by phone. I just came home. I'm not in front of the computer, so all I caught was the tail end about gas prices going up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was getting gas today, and it went up 10 cents while I was there. And then I was bitching about $10 used to fill up my bike. Now it's 20.
Yeah. Oh, and it's going up everywhere.
Yeah, and then we talked about that... the guy that shot the people in Afghanistan, but they said they had a brain injury in Iraq. So I want to know who the doctor is that released him to duty.
Yeah, and didn't he do like 3 tours or something like that? They said he went over there like 3 consecutive times.
Yeah, I stopped by Bill's today, and this kid's going over for his first tour. So Bill said, "What would you tell this young man?" I said, "Listen to the old timers and keep your head down."
Yeah, I agree with that.
But, yeah, we've been just bouncing a little bit here and there. And then happened was I played one of Stormy's songs, and then the first two people that emailed me would get a CD that I have here. But as I looked in the box, I have one more. So Art got one, and I have two more. So the first two people that emailed me.
I emailed you, Stroker.
I didn't get it.
But I emailed you.
I didn't get it.
Oh, well, I emailed you, and I put it in this CD. That's not there. Oh, let's see. So now I'm going to have to do it again, because it didn't come back, so it's got to be there.
Well, let me see if it went to my spam.
Oh, well, that everybody puts me in spam. Some people don't like what I have to say, and guess what? Don't make no difference because I still say it.
Uh-huh. Nope, you're not there.
Okay, I'm going to send it again.
All right.
I am.
Yeah, right now, the only one I have is Art and Kathleen, but she didn't tell me she called in for the CD.
Now, see, now out of it, I should be able to get a CD just for that photo favor that you got to use that photo for the insurance company. How'd that work out anyway?
What's that?
The insurance with the
because you were able to give them an actual photo of what the bike looked like. How'd it work out?
Good. Worked out good.
That's good. How about the kid that ran it over afterwards? Sorry to chuckle, but that was bad. That really was. No one should have that kind of luck.
Well, you know, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't.
That's for sure.
But, Bobby, if you want to call in, I had a little trouble with my guest tonight, but, Fran, you're typing in the wrong one. That's not my email address. That's the chat room.
Well, I did the chat room, too. I figured if I can't get you on the other one, I figured I'd do the chat room. Because that's two emails in a chat room.
Yeah.
But I tell you, it'd be kind of nice if we could actually get something going on as far as not just stories, but where some of the legends came from with the bikers and so forth. It'd really be nice to see some of that put in print. Or put together, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
You mean like a Legends event?
I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Something along the lines of maybe good faith stories, stories of actual people actually pulling over for bikers,
right.
stories of the reason that we used to put our helmet on the opposite side of the kickstand,
right,
is because by doing that, the bike wouldn't tip over because the helmet held it up. I mean, I don't know. Stupid things, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bill's got, when people come down and see Bill, he tells them, you know what the Kennedy Triangle is, right?
Mm.
Okay, all the CDs are gone. But you know what?
That's okay.
No, you got one. You know what the Kennedy's Triangle is, right?
Mm-mm.
Handlebars, seat, and fags.
Oh, my God.
Of course you ride.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I know it.
No,
that reminds me.
Yeah, because, well, you got to be comfortable when you're sitting there, you know, so it's the handlebars, seat, and foot pegs.
I want highway pegs. I need to put that leg out.
Yeah, me too. Bad knees.
I need that leg out, man. It's the only way I can make some of these rides now is to be able to actually stretch the leg.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks pretty bad when you're actually laying down on the tank and your legs are hanging straight back.
Yeah.
I actually had people staring at me yesterday because I had a huge piece of furniture on the back of the bike.
Oh my gosh.
No, she's not,
I don't know why.
Yeah, she's not kidding you. If she's telling you she had a big piece of furniture there. She had a big piece of furniture there.
That's what I'm saying. I bet that was difficult.
Nah. Several bungee cords, you can go anywhere.
Well, exactly.
It's just that people are just not accustomed to seeing what can actually be done.
Right.
Until it
happens.
Right. And when they do see it, it's like, wow, did you see that? I mean, I've had five children's bicycles and seven bicycle helmets on the back of the bike. And I actually had my camera there too. And it's just a question of how you stack it. That's all. I mean, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even going camping. I mean, this is like, I would love to get my camping gear out and go back up to Alaska again.
I just got to find the money to go do it.
Yeah.
But you don't even find where people are, you know, passing on to other individuals how to actually, you know, go about even bike camping.
Uh-huh.
You know? There's a
yeah.
book or two out there, but you don't get where bikers you actually used to sit around and just talk about, hey, what did you do or how did you do this? And you just don't get people doing that anymore. Here, just read it in the book. And it's totally different. Although I tell you, what I did learn from going to Alaska, you know, black is nice. I will never make black straps again. When it's pitch dark out there, the brighter that strap is, the happier I'll be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, what do we do? Where do we go? Everybody's got something going on. And when you try and go somewhere and enjoy yourself, you get pulled over and hassled.
That's true. Because each state, they say, well, I don't care what the law is in your state. This is the law in ours.
Yeah.
But, well, cut me some slack, man. I'm visiting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving through.
Yeah.
Although when John and I drove cross country, it was interesting because there were so many people, including cops, that still were not accustomed to seeing a woman riding her own bike. It's like,
yeah. And sometimes it just depends on where you're at.
Once you got to Colorado coming this way, then you saw more and more women actually physically riding on the road. It wasn't quite the same, I don't want to say stigma, because that's the wrong word. It still wasn't the same profile.
And you guys are on the West Coast, right?
Yeah.
We've got, like, I'm on the direct East Coast in New England, and I'd say to, like, every 25 guys on a bike, you might find one female.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot of female riders over here.
There are here.
It was hysterical, I mean, in a way.
Yeah. Let me.
There's a lot of female riders here in this state.
Yeah, let me take a break here. I'm gonna play. One's by Stormy Montana. This one's called True Love and Homegrown Tomatoes. We'll be right back.
Oh, sweet.
I'm not going to say it again.
Thank you. hope you guys enjoyed that one.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
it's good, huh?
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, she's listening with her mother while she's actually cooking dinner for her mom, she said. So they're both listening, and I wanted to say
she's a sweet thing.
Yeah, I wanted to say thanks
really
again
is.
For sending the autographed CDs. I got an autographed picture and some T-shirts.
That is so cool.
Yeah, the T-shirts got all taken away. In other words,
have a T-shirt. It wouldn't fit me
in other words,
anyway.
Everybody grabbed them all.
I say it wouldn't fit me anyway, honey. I'm too well rounded for that.
No, I would have fit you. If it could fit Bill, it would have fit you. Yes.
Yeah. I would like to think so. How's that?
Yeah, he's not as skinny as me.
True. So what are we going to do this 4th of July anyway? What kind of rally?
I don't know that. I know in April that summer meeting is at Red's house.
It is?
Yep. It's April, I think it's the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th, or the 12th, 13th, and 14th. I'm not sure.
I thought that was going to be up at Mark's.
No.
No. Okay.
This one's at Red's.
Oh, that must be when I have reserved the camping site.
I don't know.
I
emailed, but I didn't read it yet.
Am I invited?
Huh?
So am I invited?
I think you are.
Oh, good.
I think you are. If you're not, you will be.
Okay. I do have, and I was going to keep it, but I do have a very, very large Bolt shirt that should probably find a home.
Okay. Well, you can give it to Bill. He's getting a little big there.
It would have to be bigger than Bill.
Oh, okay.
Red. I gave Red John's Bolt bicycle helmet that John rode around on his trike with, and a couple other things that John had done with Bolt. But I do have that one Bolt T-shirt. Like I said, I was going to keep it, but I put it on the other day, and it was, you know what? It's just way... I could have two people in there, me and someone else. That might not be a bet. No, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
At least she
got
it.
Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Closed bill for two.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Exactly. Actually, I think they did that once back in the 60s. They had closed bill.
They did. I can't remember if it was a shirt or sweatshirt. It was something, but it was closed bill for two.
Yes, it was. I do remember those. That's just dating myself a little.
Wow. Nah, you're as young as you feel.
Oh.
Exactly. Age is just a number.
Well, what surprises me how much that we can still outdo some of these puppies. And these puppies like, wow, you're that old? And it's like, oh, my.
Yep.
Or the other comment is, I didn't think you were that old.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's try humming a few bars and see how far we go.
Well, that's like I had a guy not too long ago ask me how old I was. He said, well, you're old enough to be my dad. I said, well, what does your mother look like? Get a picture?
Oh, my God. Oh, ouch. Actually, it's pretty good, thanks.
You know me.
Well, I do. Yeah, I'll still be going up to Sacramento. I'm still trying to get some paperwork finished with the legal stuff that I'm doing here. But once I get that done,
mm-hmm.
I will be getting more into the safety aspect of out there on the streets.
Yeah.
One of the things is that came to mind is back east, we used to call them no-see-ums. And what those were these little black gnats that used to bite you.
Oh, yeah. We still have, we have a lot of those. Yeah.
Well, just don't use shampoo that has a lot of fragrance. Don't wear red and don't wear yellow, because that will bring them right to you.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, yeah, that's just, it's, well, when you're in the woods, you learn real fast certain things you just don't do.
Hey, I got one for you.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is from the East Coast. It seems there's this guy in New Hampshire. He's a busybody, as everybody calls him. But his name is Billy Mitchell. And he was in the center of a Puff Journalism piece by Sarah Switcher in the Boston Globe last week. And she describes the Maslin roar of Harleys as increasingly despised by this guy. So this guy says all his people in his neighborhood and his homeowners association and all that, their quality of life is under assault by motorcycles that blot out sidewalk cafe conversations and interrupt backyard reading. This reporter said she accurately identified the cascading hysteria about motorcycle noise as a cultural fight and notices that this fight is going on in New Hampshire, which may be the most interesting thing about it. In New Hampshire, as the redneck Yankees know, this is the most northern end reach of Appalachia. It is one of the highest per capita rates of motorcycle registration in the country. And the official state motto, as it has been since 1945, is live free or die.
Yeah.
Okay. So they came up with this thing, it's called NCOM, which is the acronym for New Hampshire Citizens Against Loud Motorcycles. This guy Mitchell says he formed NCOM because he was annoyed by loud motorcycles roaring past his Newcastle home. He was sufficiently annoyed and prosperous to buy his local police department a decibel meter and incorporate his group. So he appears to have 8 members, including the corporation's attorney, according to the U.S. Census. The last New Hampshire had a population of 1,318,194 people. Most of the public discussion over the motorcycle noise is poisoned by statements like this one in a daily decibel. It's obvious. Let's see. It's obvious why bikers make excessively loud noise, because they can, and they do it all the time, scaring helpless children to death. Mitchell describes motorcycle noise as a serious breach of the peace. He also has the leisure and disposable income to fight a significant amount of time lobbying state politicians. So they came up with this House Bill 1442. His most recent victory was the passage of this New Hampshire bill, House 1442. This is on my blog with all the links. And they're in parentheses, and it says link here. So if you click where it says link here, it will take you to the link. But the bill sets a maximum noise level for an idling two-cylinder motorcycle, which probably what you ride, of 92 decibels at idle and 96 at 2,000 RPM. When it used to be, I think it was 102 or 105, I don't remember exactly. But the limits of 92 and 94 decibels are not terrible, but they are numbers that other anti-motorcycle noise crusaders, Andy Ford of Maine Citizens Against Loud Motorcycles, had. So they're just going by what they figure. But they dropped the decibels. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. It was 106 to 92 is what they dropped it, because it comes down to enforcement. This enforcement will be a windfall for an entrepreneur named Chris Reel. He's the author of the standard for motorcycle noise called SAE J2825. And on the Aging Rebel site, the new standard last January is motorcycle noise and money. Surprisingly, the New Hampshire Motorcyclist Rights Organization doesn't object to the new law. Candy Alexander, president of the New Hampshire Motorcycle Rights Organization, told the Globe, if we're trying to solve the problem, we need to look at it historically. This is the best solution that we have. She really said historically. The Globe assumed that what Alexander meant by the problem was motorcycle noise, not Bill Mitchell. The bill must pass the New Hampshire Senate and be signed by Governor John Lynch before it becomes law. So there's a guy here that, this is a little tidbit that goes along with this article. But my comment was, not that all the cages are hermetically sealed and the manufacturer pride themselves on the build in technology like phone traffic, travel sensors, cameras, and every other doodad that they try to make you forget you are sealed in an airtight box. Cage drivers are more distracted than ever, and that doesn't even take into consideration texting, makeup, eating, reading, or shaving your cooch. And now their boxes completely eliminate road noise using foam baffles and triple-sealed doors to make sure they can concentrate. Without the noise, we don't stand a chance. Even the cops out here in Cali and San Jose figured it out. They modified their issued Harleys to make sure they can be heard. They put aftermarket pipes on, and I wrote, "Loud pipes save lives." So let me play this. Let me play this video. This guy is making fun of New Hampshire.
The thing about living on the border of New Hampshire and Maine is, first of all, I gotta just say this. I mean, New Hampshire, this state's friggin' crazy. It really is the only state in the country without a mandatory seatbelt law. You take that live free or die thing, we'll do friggin' serious. Right, all the other states, Massachusetts and Maine, they have to put up signs when you go from New Hampshire into them so you know what's illegal. Right, it's like, buckle up here, everybody, right on the main bridge. No excuses. Fireworks are illegal. Right, New Hampshire's got fireworks, no seatbelts, no sales tax. It's like Mexico. People go run across the border. Horses like Tijuana. It's ridiculous. Because we have, like, Maine, you know, Maine is like, don't drink and drive. We have a tough drunk driving law for your safety. You come into New Hampshire, the first thing you see is a liquor store on every highway. And it's the size of an outlet mall. The parking lot's like Gillette Stadium. People out there tailgating with Apache. It's like a big party. You go to the toll booth, you pay your cover, you're in for the night. I'm surprised you can pay that buck of the toll. They don't give you a plastic cup and say, the keg's right over there. Help yourself. Unbuckle that seatbelt. Loosen up, you pussy. Ride that hunk of shit up to Mount Washington. We'll give you a bumper sticker. Drunk's the old man off the mountain. But he fell off, right? He got shit face. He fell right off. Get hit with a bottle rocket. I remember July 4th weekend, man. July 4th weekend under the bridge in Kittery. You could look over the river and see the Portsmouth kids. They had like bottle rockets, M80s, dynamite. I'm over on the main side with a friggin' sparkler.
You still there?
Yeah.
And that was hilarious.
Yeah, it was.
Now, when you were talking about Chris, because now Chris is the person that John and I took the meter training from. In fact, I got to call him to find out if I got to take that training again.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking of the 96 decibels, the day that I tested bikes up at Kate Sessions,
right?
Sporty with his bike passed. Now,
wow.
the big what?
Because I need, if you're going to get recertified on that, I need some new sheets.
Yeah, I got to call Chris and find out if I need to be recertified. Probably do.
Mm-hmm.
Look how nice some of us are to other bikers. We actually go through that.
Mm-hmm.
But there really is a big noise consideration. However, when that's also going down, what people don't realize is this is also the reason that they banned lawnmowers and weed whackers and all that, because the noise level was so loud and so piercing that people couldn't stand it.
No, and I call guys that do that, Vinnie Varum.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, when they pull over and park and stuff, I'll go, hey, Vinny, what's up? Vinny. Hey, Varun. Everybody knows you're here now.
I mean, you got the rice burner little cars that they had that, and it's like, you know what? They talk about motorcycles? No. Those high pipes and everything. Now, with that, I mean, you know that there's a lot of things that are attached to that. And now we are, I recall, grandfathered into that EPA and noise ordinance. What is it? 2014 or something like that? It goes into effect?
2013.
I thought it was, well, all right, so we lost a year. So that's going to be going into effect. And like I kept telling people, you buy a bike, you change those pipes, you better keep those old pipes, because you're going to sell that bike, you ain't going to be able to sell it without those pipes. So, as they say, buyer beware.
Yeah, I did that when I put my Thunderhead around. I got that. And on the other bike, I got the pipes too. They're up in the garage. Because people are going in by Bill now. They're all scared. And he's got a shitload of pipes.
Well,
but
he's got a shitload of pipes. I would go in and go buy some.
Well, yeah, but I think Bill would be the only guy on the West Coast that won't try and hammer you for him.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, where do you think I get my used parts for my Honda? I love going shopping.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, I'm also one of those that still retrofit. I mean, anything can be retrofit to fit something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old days of baling wire and those
duct
days
taping
are kind of gone.
Yeah, all you need to see, like now, you know, last year, Bill and I went up to Long Beach, and my shifter, the ball joint in my shifter broke. So we pulled over and I just got in gas. We got back on the freeway, and it broke. And I pulled over, and I'm like, son of a bitch. And Bill goes, hey, you got any zip ties in there? And I'm like, hey, Bill, a zip tie ain't going to hold that.
Yeah, well, if it's a good one.
Yeah. No, they were good ones. They were good, thick ones.
Yeah. You have no idea how many times I have repaired other people's motorcycles, or I'll take my tool kit out at the back of the bike. Mine's I got to put it back in, and come out with screws and bolts and whatever to fix somebody's bike. And then they look at you like, and a woman did that, and it's like, so since when does a mechanic make a difference if it's a male or female?
Exactly.
As long as it gets done.
Well, that's like the little kid that's like the little kid that was in the car, you know, the policeman, the fireman, the tow truck driver, everybody standing there because the guy got the semi stuck under the viaduct.
Yep.
The kid stuck his window out, his head out the window and said, let the air out of the tires. You can get it out.
Well, it's funny, but it's not funny because someone did that at Father Joe's 15 years ago at a toy run. And it was the same situation. It was like, okay, now that you jammed it in, let the tires out, lower the tires so you can get it back out. And they just looked at me like, oh, like, what are you, crazy? And it's like, well, all right, just sit there then. And they did. They just sat there.
Yeah. Now, but
there are those out there that really do think that women don't have any sense.
Well, you know, just as you say that, I got a woman here that makes a lot of sense. Hang on a second. She's got something to say.
Good. What are you bothering, Lena? What's wrong, Daddy?
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker. He just stand by the goddamn window with that fucking AK all day. You don't work, you don't fuck, you don't eat on the goddamn.
Oh, my God.
I love that.
Here, I'll do it for you again.
Why are you bothering now? What's wrong, Daddy?
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker. He just stand by the goddamn window with that fucking AK all day. You don't work, you don't fuck, you don't eat on the goddamn.
Yeah, how do you top that one?
You can play the one song that you played for me that night when Bill sat there and thought I asked you to play that, and I'm like, no, that surprise one.
Which one?
That was when I had a bad day.
I don't remember.
What else is new? You're a man.
Ouch.
Trying to think, I don't remember. No, I always played.
Was just being funny, Fran. I wouldn't mean that to him.
It could have been worse. It could have been bitch slapped. I mean, you know, I mean, really.
I can't reach that far.
Not unless
we do like hands across the states.
Well, give me a hint.
The F word.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
You mean that fuck song?
Yeah.
That one.
That's a good one.
Hang on. Let me see if I can find him here real quick. Let's see. Okay. Here's where. Let me see. Oh, here. Yeah, this should be right here. There you go.
Beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck.
as part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible, and as almost every word in a sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers. As you must realize, there aren't too many words with the versatility of fuck, as in these examples describing situations such as fraud, I got fucked at the used car lot, dismay, aw, oh, fuck it, trouble, I guess I'm really fucked now, aggression, don't fuck with me, buddy, difficulty, I don't understand this fucking question, inquiry, who the fuck was that, dissatisfaction, I don't like what the fuck is going on here. Incompetence. He's a fuck off. Dismissal. Why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself? I'm sure you have many more examples. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you.
Okay, feel better now?
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely feel better.
I know. It's almost like if you just said it yourself. Poof.
Well, I got the perfect song to take us out then.
Oh, the
we're done. We're down to 2 minutes.
Oh, wow. That was fast.
Right. Yeah, this one's gonna be by Barker Joe Warren. Enjoy.
Mamas don't like it, so they turn the shopping carts around. Mama shoots me a dirty look. She thinks I'm just a greedy rebel without a cause. But it's fear that mostly makes them people put us down. But I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to kick the bunkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. That's right, I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of bunkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. In the restaurant, the maitre d' gets nervous cause I ain't got on a tie. But who'd ever thought a hairy ass biker would drink French wine? I just finish off the steak and I have a glass of brandy and a slice of apple pie. Then I leave the biggest tip that the waiter's seen all night. Still, I like to ride big motorcycles and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of bunkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you.
If you don't
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.